There's another incident that I'd like to bring up where it's a crisis for the creature, and it's we could call it the expectation about knowledge. Expectations that we have about knowledge. And it has to do with the fact that Jesus was teaching and the people were offended in him because they said, you know, he shouldn't be teaching. He shouldn't be teaching. He doesn't have any knowledge. How can he be doing this? He's never learned. He doesn't have letters. And we do have a very interesting attitude about knowledge. We have expectations about knowledge. It means if you have been to college and you have been to the university and you have used your mind and you have accumulated a PhD, you have knowledge. And that knowledge has practically wrecked this planet. Knowledge. So our expectations of knowledge are not based correctly. How come he has knowledge, having never learned? Now, what could the statement like that mean if it doesn't mean book learning? Book learning. This is not book learning. And the reality of the issue that we are concerned with has to do with the fact that authority cannot be delegated. We delegate authority, and you cannot delegate authority. You have to take authority. And what does authority mean? It means that you actually see who the author is. Who is the author? And the author has to be the reality. What is the reality? We do not trust ourselves to see the reality. Now, the interesting thing in the domain of interpersonal relationships, which is the most important domain, there is no way that book learning is going to teach us anything. Self-knowledge is the only way that we will know another person. Self-knowledge. We have to know ourselves because they are exactly like we are. If we are not comfortable with ourselves, we are not comfortable with them. If we do not know ourselves, we do not know them. And the thing that is also strange is that we don't just know ourselves by looking at ourselves. We know ourselves the best by looking at each other. Have you ever heard of a medical student studying his own liver? No. He cannot know his own liver. He has to study somebody else's liver. And by studying somebody else's liver, he knows his own liver. And you've had that same experience, sitting in groups where you have seen a manifestation in another person and you identify totally with the manifestation and you know that that manifestation is yours. And so you understand your own better by seeing it in the other person. So we are all the same. Isn't that disappointing a little bit? Because we live in a country that prides itself on individuality. Have you ever gone someplace and seen the woman across with the same exact costume as you? That people get very bashful and very sort of want to get away from it. Like, she got my dress on. It doesn't happen to us very much. And I don't know why, because the racks have thousands of the same things in them. Why we never show up with the same thing is more than I can believe. Isn't that right? But still, people do look pretty much the same. And so the only way to know the other is to know yourself. Absolutely, know yourself. Totality and self-knowledge and comfort. Comfortableness means I'm not all confused by his nose. See, and I'm sure that's what poor Stein said. Only everybody used to wonder what she meant when she said a rose is a rose is a rose. And I'm sure that's what she meant. So what? So a nose is a nose is a nose. You know, why make a big fuss about a nose? See, but we don't do that with our individuality, our peculiarities. All our little foibles are so special and particular. people are really quite bored. But they're polite, you know. They're very polite, aren't they? We're polite. See? After a while, it does get very, very boring because that's not the right function of us. Not the right function. You should have had it when you were a child. Kids are cute. They should have a lot of attention, and they're very extraordinary. But when you get to be a big kid, big body kid, you know, We really shouldn't do that anymore. So it's an extraordinary thing. Self-knowledge is the key to being comfortable. And self-knowledge means I know everybody else because they are exactly like myself. And there's not that much different about us. Now, we all really do think that there is something special about somebody who knows a lot. Isn't that right? I've seen it. I've heard it. I'm uncomfortable here because he's a PhD or I haven't a college education. How come this man knows anything, having never learned? In the early days, there was always a lot, there were a lot of admonitions to get your credential, to get your PhD in psychology, to go to the Pacific School of Religion and get your credential. So they couldn't get you. See? And there's something good and instinctive about the knowledge that that is not the thing to hold over anybody's head. Because this age is particularly distinctive in one thing. We don't need teachers and we don't need authorities. We need to expose. It's going back to the way that Plato wanted to teach everybody. Sit on one end of the log and the other guy on the other end of the log and you just put the thing in the middle. And if it's true, I see it and he sees it and we both see it. And that is really the true teaching, the exposure of the truth, the exposure of the principles, the exposure and the insistence that the other person see it for himself. So the expectations of knowledge, the expectations of who has knowledge have to be erased and we have to look at each other differently and we have to look at the people who have knowledge differently. Especially in the realm we're talking about. This is a realm that has to do with being, with how a human should be, how a person should be.